Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Are you watching? The anger about AIG is reaching this fever pitch in Washington. I can't tell if they're all just sort of dancing around trying to see an opportunity to get a headline or if there is real anger there. It seems out in the world of the U.S. economy on the street level, people are just outraged.
People are outraged, and the question is, when does a story become a symbol?
Right. Well, you know, we're going to have a web video that'll be on later today on the takeaway.org talking about whether anger helps in a situation like this or whether it's better to just sort of cross your legs, do sort of the Buddhist thing, and move on. We're going to be talking about that. But if you want to respond to AIG, we got some calls yesterday, 877-8-MY-TAKE or MYTAKE at the takeaway.org. Bonuses, what Congress can do. Does anger help to claw back your feeling of hurt over this financial bailout? And all week long, we've been actually exploring the shadow financial economy as we're taking a look at the implications of the recession. We talked about the 28 million people, which was an astounding number, people who aren't served by banks at all in the United States. Today, we look at the shadow cash economy that's represented by the millions and millions of wire transfers that take place from one side of the globe to the other as people send from the developed world cash to their family members back home in places like Mexico or even Bangladesh. It's a very, very important part of the economy in Latin America. And joining us now is Efrain Jimenez. He's a worker in San Fernando Valley, works as an auto mechanic, and he's on the line with us from the San Fernando Valley. Efrain, thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
And thanks so much for getting up. It's early for you, but how much of a lifeline are you for your family members down in Mexico?
Well, definitely, my family, it does depend to a certain point of the remittances that I send. Not that it's completely dependent, but it's really important for them to have money be sent.
Right. And every month you normally budget how much in terms of remittances to send by wire back to Mexico?
Well, I used to send around $500 a month, but now this has been decreasing even progressively. In November last year, I used to send at that time $500, but now it's no more than $300.
That is a 40% reduction. Robert Mines, remittance specialist for the Inter-American Development Bank. First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
A 40% reduction. That's just Efrain Jimenez, one worker in the San Fernando Valley, reducing his remittances by 40% back to his family in Mexico. What is the scale of this looking throughout Latin America?
Well, remittances to Latin America are a lifeline, both to national economies and to the families receiving them. Just to give you some idea of how much money went to Latin America last year, it was $69.2 billion. Now, that's more than foreign direct investment and official development assistance combined. So this is a very important flow. About 30% of the region's families receive this money, and about 50% of their household income is dependent upon it. So any decrease in remittances is very worrying for us. Now, luckily, the decline to Latin America hasn't been as large as the decline in Efrain sending. We saw a slight drop in the fourth quarter of last year, but we expect a larger drop this year. Just to give you an idea, in January, our predictions show that between 11% and 13% less remittances will flow to Latin America than they did in the same period last year.
I want to go back to Efrain for a second, if I may. Give me a sense of what your family's cutting out because they're not getting as much money. What's not happening that would have happened if you'd been able to send $500?
Well, as of now, honestly speaking, on this case, it's not that they are like cutting a lot of stuff, because keep in mind that 6 months ago, in order for me to send 5,000 pesos, I needed to send $500. And now, if I've sent that same $300, it's almost a $5,000 pesos because of the exchange rate.
Mm.
I am not worried of that as of now as much as I am going to be in the next few months when I'm going to see the prices of the goods are going to increase because of the exchange rate. I've seen that on on situations like this in the 1990s. So the dollar went up, everything costed more.
So you're getting hammered by the international exchange issues. What's going on in the San Fernando Valley in terms of demand for your services as an auto mechanic?
Yes, definitely. What happens here is that most of the work of the people is on the construction business. And what happens now is with this housing bubble, there's not much people working. So people is waiting to fix their cars. Just as of now, I don't have as much clients as I used to have. I've been with my business for about 9 years already, and it has been decreasing more than 60% as of now.
Wow. Robert, let's talk a little bit about the political implications of this. You already mentioned that the amount of the remittances to Latin America is more than the official and international aid combined to these governments. If it declines in a serious way, and that's prolonged, we've already seen instability in Mexico, on the drug issue. Is it likely to fuel instability in places in Latin America politically because there's not anything that the governments can do to compensate or to turn things around from these remittances?
Well, fundamentally, migration is the result of a developmental imbalance. So the fact that it's very difficult for people to find jobs in Latin America is one of the things that that most drives migration. Whether or not this is going to have a destabilizing impact is a very good question. But that all depends on how long this recession is and how deep. The most important thing for us is that about 80% of remittances are used for daily consumption.
Daily consumption.
Right.
Wow.
And about 20% is used to invest in the future income earning potential, as we say. So we're talking about things like education of children, of health care.
Let's just back up a second. That is extreme. 80% for daily consumption. So that's an immediate impact on the quality of life of families in Latin America. And then the other 20% goes for the very investments that are likely to cushion these families, the economy changes so radically.
Right. It depends very much on which country you're looking at. There are countries where only 60% goes to consumption, which is, as far as we're concerned, very positive. But keep in mind that during an economic recession like this one, the costs often rise, and so it becomes more important to them to be able to consume things right now. And a larger proportion of their income goes to that.
Efrain, let me just ask you a question. I don't know if you heard the Western Union commercial that we aired at the top of the hour. Do you use Western Union to transfer, or do you use some other service?
Occasionally, I do that.
Well, I was listening to that commercial, and it seemed both the Farai and I were struck by how much of an emotional connection they're appealing to in that Western Union commercial. The idea that not only is your money important, but your sort of emotion is on the line. That it's a measure of your personal identity to be able to send this money back. And if you're down 40%, I mean, are you taking a hit as a provider as well as just a member of the economy?
Well, definitely is something that is worrying me. Not like I said it, and not now. It's going to be in the next 3 to 4 months. I'm sure that the price of things are going to be up in Mexico. Then I'm going to be really worried. So now I'm concerned of what's going on with this crisis, global crisis, and hopefully, this is going to be at the bottom of it within the next few months.
Efrain, you obviously have a trade. You know how to deal with autos. I was in Oakland, California recently and saw, it wasn't Home Depot, but a Home Depot-like business with day laborers, and there were just people all over the street because nobody's really hiring. Do you have any friends who are less skilled workers, and what are they doing since there seems to be a huge glut?
Well, I've seen some friends that are less skilled workers, and what are they doing is just holding this crisis and just spending the savings that they had from last year. Most of these people, they had their own savings, and they are just trying to survive. As of now.
Right. Well, Efrain Jimenez, good luck to you. Immigrant worker in the San Fernando Valley. He's an auto mechanic. He's cut by 40% the money he sends to his family in Mexico. And Robert Mines, remittance specialist for the Inter-American Development Bank, thanks for putting the sort of macroeconomic view in perspective for us.